Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now you can keep your texts coming into 51551 or your emails to ray@rte.ie. I am delighted to be joined now by a family from Galway who spent the last 14 months at sea. The Quinlan Owens family from Kinvara took a year out on a boat travelling the Atlantic Circuit, and they are finally home on dry land. Only got back as of from Monday, you guys were telling me outside. They are Mom Vera, Dad Peter, daughter Lillian and son Rory. It's great to have you all in, and just to kind of explain, I have Mom Vera and Lillian in front of me, and next door in another studio, just so we can adhere to social distancing, I have Dad Peter and son Rory. So can you hear me, lads?
Yeah.
This is odd, but we'll get there. No offence, lads. I'm going to start with the women because they're sitting in front of me. It's great to see you and welcome home, Vera.
Thanks very much, Catherine. Thank you. It's great to be back. Come here. Slightly different, but it's great to be back.
Sit in a little bit to the mic there.
I will, yeah.
So tell me about the family. You're a Galway clan. You're a scientist.
I am. I'm a marine scientist in the Marine Institute there in Galway Bay.
Okay.
And Peter there is in the university. He's also a scientist, not in the marinescape, but I'll let him maybe tell you about that. And so we've been living in Kinvara since 2005.
Yes,
okay. And the kids are born there. And so we were, I suppose, normal family, do you know? But always interested in sailing. The kids will have done sailing in Galway Bay Sailing Club. They've been, you know, in Optimists and Lasers and Toppers and that, you know, as they were growing up, well, from the age of seven, really.
Okay.
As I did as a child.
Lillian, what age are you now?
12.
You're 12. And Rory, what age are you?
10.
Okay. So, bit of sailing. Well, first of all, before we get into the boat and how this all came about, how did you and Peter first meet?
Well, we actually met through climbing. I had a background in sailing, and my parents had a boat on Loch Derg, and we used to go out the River Shannon through Ardna Croatia and go up the west coast of Ireland or to Scotland or France. And then life goes on, and I went to university, and then I really got into climbing and mountaineering, and really that's how we met, Peter, isn't it?
So did she get you into the sailing, Peter?
Absolutely, yes. We met through mountaineering, did a load of different mountaineering trips together, lots of good experience in times in the hills, and we were looking to go on previously we were looking to do a trip at some stage, and I'd met some of Vera's family beforehand up in Malahide, and it was on a stormy night when I met her dad and his wife Kay on their boat, and they're about to do a transatlantic as well, and I just saw this and I saw the possibilities, what you could do in a sailing boat. They were just going to head off, and I just looked at this and went, okay, this is something we could do and something we could work on. And when we got married, we put together a plan where we took off for a similar time and did a transatlantic back in 2004 to 2005.
So let me get this right. As a newly married couple,
yes,
you decided to cross the Atlantic together alone on a boat.
Well, I had always wanted to do it, Catherine. I suppose it was always kind of one of those things I really wanted to do. And I knew Peter from the mountains, and I knew how adventurous he was, and so really I just kind of we sailed out of Galway Bay and pretty really cut his teeth on that trip, and then we came back,
because I'd say, and, you know, they say you never really know someone until you live with them. I'd say you never really know someone until you're in a boat across the Atlantic.
There were some times, it must have been.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. So then we came back and we had a family with two wonderful children. And really, I suppose, 2017, 18, you know yourself, you're bringing up small kids, your full-time job. There was we're west of Ireland, but there's still the rat race, there's still the stresses and the, you know, I just thought it was all so hectic. And I just wanted time out. And that was the whole idea of the trip, I suppose, was to spend time with the family, with all of us together. I really felt it would do us an awful lot of good, spend time and let's go and do something as a family. Let's go and have an adventure. And that's how it started.
And Peter, were you the same? Like, did you have that same sort of desire as Vera?
Absolutely. As I said, like, you know, when I first got onto a long distance sailing boat, I realised this, the possibilities of going to places which are a bit challenging, out of the way, somewhere that is just, it, it, it gives you this great sense of achievement when you approach somewhere from the sea. And I realised that after a couple of early trips. And
And I suppose having done it once before, the two of you together, you cross the Atlantic. That sort of takes some degree of fear out of it, because you've got beautiful kids, Lillian and Rory. And so, Lillian, when they came to you with this idea, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was really cool, and it's all in for it, really.
Did you? Was the first thing you said, does that mean no school for a year?
Yeah, actually.
Pretty much. Rory, what about you?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And we took out the map and they said, where do you want to go? And we picked out like some of the few places where the Amazon, the Caribbean, and like Africa and Morocco.
We picked out the big Atlantic chart, and we said, okay, we have to sail with the winds, Catherine. We have to sail the old trade wind route. Okay, so there's a certain way you go across the Atlantic.
Okay,
like you're not in the Caribbean now, for example. All the hurricanes are starting.
Yeah.
You must cross the southern Atlantic route, say from the Cape Verdes to French Guiana or South America. There, you must do that around December or January. So certain times of the year that you adhere to. So we kind of said, look, this is the general route. What do you think? Where'll we go? And so they were shouting, oh, let's go to the Amazon. Woohoo. Let's go and go to the Sahara and ride camels. So I wanted to take those ideas and work them into the trip as well, you know. And it was all part of the education and, you know, the schooling as well. And obviously I didn't want to be a teacher for the year. That wasn't the idea.
You had decided you weren't going to homeschool from the get-go.
Yeah, okay. We pretty much did. We had a discussion and with the teachers, and we said we're going to just do the maths curriculum with them, and they'll write a diary, and then we're going to do all these other. We did a science project. I mentioned I'm a marine scientist. We took an Argo float from the Marine Institute, and we deployed it mid-Atlantic.
And it measures temperature and salinity.
That's right.
That's correct. Very
yeah, well done. It measures temperature and salinity, and it goes down to what depth, Rory?
2,000 metres.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it lasts for 4 years, and we took it into the school, so all their classmates signed it, and that's now deployed in the mid-Atlantic and sending, for 4 years it'll be sending data back to the Marine Institute, and that data will be used for climate change. So we did a big project around that. So we did projects like this along
Amazing.
The way, and that was how we approached the schooling.
Amazing. And can I go back to you, Peter, because a trip like this just doesn't happen, you know, because you have a bad day at work and you go, we're going sailing around the world. Like, this takes planning, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes you just put your hands up there. You said 10 years.
Nearly
10 years to plan it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Well, pretty much. Sorry, Peter, go on.
Yeah, I suppose we've been thinking about this since, you know, when in our previous trip, we met a lot of people sailing with kids, and we just sort of amazed by the kids we met out on these trips and with their parents, and we were impressed by their sense of the world and you know, how they would interact with people, and so we kind of thought, well, God, if we did this as a family sometime in the future, so we bought a boat on a bit of a shoestring budget, brought her from Faro, sailed her back home, and spent 2 years in Galway, in the yard in Galway, on a refit.
So that was 2008 to 2010. And it just literally, Peter, you know, we'd cut the boat open and take the engine out. And Peter did
you did all
huge
that yourself.
Well, a project like this only works when, you know, we only had a small budget, so I had to do nearly 99% of the work myself. It couldn't have worked if we had to pay people to help.
So essentially over 10 years, when you had enough money saved up, you'd put it into the boat, and then you'd save again and put it into the boat.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. And luckily we're in jobs where we can take a leave of absence. So we now have jobs to come back to, which is fantastic. Yep. And that's the beauty of I suppose, working for the government. It's one of the advantages.
Sure.
So that was that really enabled the whole thing. You know, there are a very, very minority of people who are able to maybe go out and spend spend 300,000 or 400,000 on a yacht and sail off. But
that wasn't.
No. But it,
how big is the boat?
She's 43 foot. She's a 43 foot steel catch. And again, we wanted steel. I wanted something safe. And she's a very reputable design. She's a Bruce Roberts. So there are some designs there that you would kind of, you know, go for. And again, with the background, I kind of knew what to look for. And she's a center cockpit. It's nice and safe and deep, and you can harness on in a big sea. And, you know, so there was a lot of things that we were looking for. And so that's what we found, and that's what we saw. Now, she was in bad nick, like we said, but with a bit of hard work, a lot of hard work, we got her to you know, put new electronics on, and then we were ready. We were ready to go.
And what was it like sailing out of Galway?
It was incredible.
It was a great experience.
It was absolutely incredible. Such a release, Catherine. So much, we put so much into it, and we sailed out of Galway Bay in a northerly wind on the 14th of June, 2019, and we turned left.
You see, I'm getting goosebumps now, because this is the type of thing that I think most of us dream of, you think of, you say you'll do it, and most of us don't do it. And
but we need to. You can just go out and you know, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. You really can. Whatever it happens to be, not everyone can get a boat and have those skills. And those skills do take a time to build up. But you know, no matter what it is, it could be you know, taking a camper van going across Europe. It could be anything, you know.
With enough planning and enough dedication and enough time, because, you know, people kind of think, say, and it is an expensive sport and all of that, but this took you 10 years.
Yes.
So so you turned left out of Galway. So what was the route?
So we turned left, and like I said, it was a trade wind route. So it's all the way down the west coast to Europe. We went to all the way down to Morocco, and then we went across the Atlantic. So again, I said we had a few different things we wanted to do along the way. So we sailed into Rabat. Peter, that was just incredible. Incredible, wasn't it?
It was one of our highlights. We actually left the Portuguese coast, and you're sort of leaving Europe, and then going over a two night passage, I think, and arriving in Rabat. You enter over the bar in Rabat. You're brought in by this pilot boat, and you've got this ancient citadel above you on the right hand side. There's people rowing ferries across your bow as you're coming up the Bourdigueg River. Into this a town called Salé between on either side of the river, and it's again a town which is could be the same, hasn't changed
it, it
in thousands
like
of years.
It was like sailing into a town or a city from like 700-800 years ago. It was just incredible. And from there, then we left the boat for 3 weeks there. As I said, the kids had said they wanted to ride camels in the Sahara, so we got two mules, and we got three Moroccan guys to come with us. So we were a party of seven. We headed up into the Moroccan mountains, and we walked for 7 days from north to south to get to the Sahara. I think you wanted to say a little bit about this, Rory, did you?
Yeah. So we walked like north to south across the Atlas Mountains. Mm-hmm. And as Molly said, we had two mule herders and a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went north to south. And when we got south, we went to Sahara Desert for 2 days, and we went riding on camels.
What was the best part about that?
About
riding the camels.
About getting up before sunrise and looking at and going in the camels to go up on the highest dune and look at the sunrise.
Wow.
And the sand.
Did you take loads of photos?
Yeah.
Good.
And on the way back, we got caught in a sandstorm.
Oh my gosh. I actually wanted to ask you, what was, because you at one point on the boat trip, I'm conscious of time.
Yeah.
You sailed for day and night on part of the trip. What was the worst weather, or did you have any hairy moments crossing the Atlantic?
So so there was lots of like longer journeys. I suppose we went from Morocco then across to French Guiana, and that's an ocean passage of about 13 days. The longest passage would have been from Antigua to the Azores. It was 25 days. However, we didn't really encounter huge weather on any of those. But Azores and approaching Ireland, Catherine, I have to say,
the
2 days departure from Ireland, say, down to the Scillies, that was, you know, the first stop. And the approach to Ireland, the 4 day approach kind of into Ireland, four of those 10 days. Now, they were full on, and we had North Atlantic systems coming across. But you expect that. And, you know, and at one point we had to hove two, what's called hoving two, where you essentially stop the boat, you bring the sails down because it becomes too dangerous to be on deck. Mm. And obviously when we're deck, we're harnessed in. But it does.
And you all have to work as a team. I mean, I know it's a big boat, it's a heavy boat, but it requires like you and Peter Vera obviously doing most of the work, and the guys then having their jobs with ropes and buoys and all that.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you quickly, where did you spend lockdown?
So lockdown hit us in, I suppose, in Antigua. Yeah. And we went to Barbuda, which is just 30 miles to the north of Antigua. And that, Catherine, that became certainly one of my highlights. Initially, we were devastated. We were like, oh, no, we've got to, that's it. You know, we have to stop. We were told by the government, that's it. Put your anchor down for 5 weeks and that's it. You're not going anywhere. And, we actually thought it was 2 weeks, but it ended up being 5 weeks. Mm. But we sailed into this area. It was pristine coral reef all around us.
Like, we had to navigate through the coral reefs and it was, like, crystal clear. And our anchor didn't move, like, for the first time on the whole trip for about 5 weeks.
Actually, the water was so clear you could see the anchor from the bow of the boat 30 metres away in the sand.
And in the coral reefs, we went snorkelling with sharks, stingrays, turtles, and eagle rays.
Yeah.
And we made a film about it. Made it underwater.
Yeah.
That was another little
You're
project
making
we
me
did.
Jealous, Rory. That's like the best lockdown story I've heard since March.
Yeah.
And did you meet anybody on the island, or was there other sailors there, Lillian?
There is how many boats?
Eight boats.
There was eight boats. Met a few friends, and there's a British boat, and they had an oppie, so we went sailing on that.
Sailing dinghy.
And how did you manage with food and getting food on board if you're stuck in the one place for that long?
Yeah, so that was obviously a big and we knew this was coming. We had a little bit of a heads up. We knew what was going on in China, and we had been kind of watching it. So we in Antigua, we had loaded the boat with food because we didn't know what was going to happen and what was going to be requested of us. So we had a lot of food on board, but water, Catherine, is the main problem. We don't have a water maker. So, but the other larger boats had water makers, so they gave us water. And then the locals were absolutely amazing. They came out in fishing boats after about 10 days and said, hey guys, do you want any fresh fruit and vegetables? And they brought, we weren't allowed to visit the town, we weren't allowed to go near the main town. So they brought all the fresh fruit and vegetables out in crates to us, and we left money under rocks, and that's how we lived for 5 weeks. And I'll take that with me forever. It's just incredible.
What an incredible adventure. What an amazing adventure, lads. Lillian, are you looking forward to getting back to school when they open?
Looking forward to seeing your friends
and
starting secondary school,
aren't you?
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us, because I know it's been busy and you had a big welcome on the pier.
We did.
And I know you're just back and you just want to chill and get into the house and close the door. I'd say, though, you'll be running out of it after a week.
I think
But there's more. If anyone wants to hear about your venture, more on Seascapes at 10:30 p.m. on RTE Radio 1.
Yes.
And a text that came in here to the Canvara family, feeling so proud and yet very inadequate listening to your guests. Oh. I'm sitting in my kitchen in Canvara with only the laundry to look forward to. Well done to them. Listen, thank you so much, Vera, Peter, Rory and Lillian. Thanks a million for coming in, and enjoy the weekend.